hab ein Tier zum Freund und das ist total lieb. Es ist eine Kuh und ich bin froh, dass es sie gibt. Immer wenn sie bei mir ist, bekomme ich Appetit. Aber nicht auf meine Kuh, sondern auf das, was sie mir gibt. Ich melk Milch, das ist klasse, oh, oh, oh. Milch, ne ganze Flasche voll, frische Milch schmeckt toll. Ich melk Milch, das ist klasse, oh, oh, oh. Milch, ne ganze Flasche voll.
Hello and welcome to Your Homegrown Food, the show about all things food. Today I have two guests here in the station with me. First I have the host of the Arduck Show, and for those of you who don't know, aren't long-time listeners of the Arduck Show, then you don't know that he has created a style of food preparation called Sensible Meal Planning. My other guest is Riz Orchestra, who has been living a unique lifestyle for many years, and that includes his own style of food acquisition and eating. I'll turn your mics up. I think those are them, right? So I'd like to start out by having you, the host of the Arduck Show, tell us about Sensible Meal Planning. What it is, first of all, and maybe give us some of the background on it.
Let's see. Well, it starts out by being sensible. I think that's a pretty important part of it. And it kind of started out with Riz and I. We were kind of doing a little bit of off-the-grid sort of living and trying to find ways to comfortably eat food that might be easily prepared and be available when you're on the road, moving around a lot. And we were looking for alternatives, I suppose. Alternative's a good word, I think.
Certainly
is. Yeah, it is a good one. Alternatives to maybe many of the things that when you find yourself after a show at someone's house, there's something called a party, an after party. And some of those places provide only certain kinds of food. And so there's a certain type of easy preparation there. It tends to be salty snack treats. And usually some sort of dairy-based dipping sauce. So we were trying to find maybe some things a little less salt, a little less dairy. Some of them are still pretty crunchy, I think, into the specifics of it all. But that's where it came from, and that's how it was. That's how we developed that over a span of still ongoing, really, I would say.
So you would say that Sensible Meal Planning is an alternative to after show party food?
Well, it's also the meals too. I mean, so it is, I would say it's a certain time period of development of artistic creativities and display of whatever those might be that creates, maybe a more difficult circumstance for traditional preparations of food.
Wow. Okay. Can you give me an example of a sensible meal planning meal?
Oh, sure. Well, like say, all right, so you got, would be a nice one. Actually, you introduced me to a really fine one for an emergency lunch. You may not have known it was sensible meal planning. And it's, I mean, I'm using these crazy words because I'm trying to show how universal it can be to anybody. Mm-hmm. Just a circumstance that it can fall under, and a basic idea of what it is. It's very broad, and anyone might find themselves doing it. So sometime we were out doing a little gardening, which your chance to do, and I got a little bit hungry, but we knew we had to keep going because the sun was moving.
Uh-huh.
And so we came inside, and you grabbed a couple Akimaki crackers. You sliced a little avocado on there. Put a little sesame oil on top and some pepper.
Uh-huh.
And I think you sliced a tomato. And that was it. It was quite sensible. It worked perfectly for lunch. Not necessarily a meal, but it gets you through in that case. An actual sensible meal can get a little more involved. But
I see.
But essentially, they're fairly rapidly produced with things that preferably don't need refrigeration or much, or can last for a duration of time.
Okay.
Without refrigeration.
Okay. Well, it sounds like sensible meal planning is sort of the way you eat a lot of times, Riz Orchestra.
Oh, definitely. we for sure really addressed that sensible meal planning from, I mean, that was a good 10 years ago, huh?
I think so.
Yeah. You know, and it had a lot to do with traveling and non-refrigeratable or foods that don't need refrigeration necessarily and that uh-huh. are easy and quick to prepare a lot of times on the fly. And another thing, too, it needs to be available pretty much 24 hours a day, like with the traveling and playing music lifestyle. The uh-huh. hours aren't necessarily daytime business hours.
Ah, so you have to have the food already with you.
Absolutely, or they got to be that readily available. But yeah, preferably we've had a number of different storage type situations that are situated inside of internal combustion vehicles,
uh-huh.
and way under the 30-minute preparation period time. Like actually, if it can be ready within 90 seconds and 5 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Or immediately, like if it was possible to just sort of pull open a, say, you know, a Tupperware type container and reach inside there and begin eating, that fit the quality of sensible, like there's the sensibility of healthy food, you know, good food, mm-hmm. but also the sensibility of maybe preparationless items that mm-hmm. that the only cleanup is, you know, how much you're just going to sort of lick the remains off your fingers, and because you know you'll be around some water within a few hours.
I see. Cool.
So it's very much like that. And then also, I think a good point that you brought up, it was an alternative to the things that might be considered culturally traditionally available to, mm-hmm. say, a traveling musician or someone just traveling anyway. You know, folks will offer party foods or things that could be more nourishing were they more wholesome and sensible in, mm-hmm. in and of themselves. So we're kind of modifying that sort of thing. Oh, and something else I think that goes part of it, say for instance when we would be recording music, there'd be these long sessions in a studio, mm-hmm. where I'd say we learned by experience if we left to go find food, mm-hmm. that could would really break the creative flow. Yeah. We'd be coming back going, kind of having to pick up the thread from where we were creatively. Whereas if you're thinking about something for 6 hours, it's easier to come to closure with something that might take, you know, another couple of hours,
uh-huh.
by staying there and doing it. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you got to recover that whole 6 hours somehow.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So there was the sensibility sometimes has to do with the foods. It also has to do with practical things surrounding the necessity for food.
Huh. So the elements I hear are not refrigerating the food, having it readily available, and it's conducive to travel and long hours of not taking a break.
Well, I would concur with that list. What
that's
do you think?
That's a pretty good list.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, portability, I know. And I know sometimes the food, if it fits in your pocket, that can be real handy.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound like a meal to me. That sounds more like a snack.
Well, there's sensible meals. So it's a modification of the idea of a meal.
See.
So, and you're right. Although a lot of maybe the meals that we were having at that time might have qualified more as snacks.
For the
actual, say somebody with a kitchen that was going to cook up.
Yeah.
As I know you enjoy doing.
Yeah.
So it would have seemed much like a snack, I think.
Well, I think, we were following a long train of history there where people suggest, and some health analysts even say, you should eat throughout the day. And without really even knowing that, you know, after hearing your program more and hearing some of the discussions of foods and things, I realize it fits in a lot of ways to even some other people's idea of what sensible food is.
Hmm.
Well, the along the lines of that topic, I think the notion of two or three significant loading, you know, meal loading times per day is a relatively new idea in human culture, and you know, 35,000-40,000 years ago,
uh-huh.
grazing, you would pretty much, if you found a couple berries, I don't let you collect them until you found a couple more berries and make a meal, you know, at lunchtime.
Uh-huh.
You just pretty much go ahead and eat them. And we may have been resonating that type of thing.
Eat it as you find it.
Well, that's how it would have been many thousands of years ago, but maybe our digestive systems are still attuned to that to that pattern to some extent. Although it is really swell. I know when I visit with you guys and have good meal loading times, you know, multiple times per day, it's very comfortable and extraordinarily pleasant. So that, you know, just because it's maybe the old way of doing things doesn't mean it's the best. You know, sitting and having a meal is very nice.
Well, I think there's good and bad ways to do both.
Okay.
Sure. I recently heard that Kentucky Fried Chicken is trying to, one of the fast food restaurants, I don't remember which one, they're trying to introduce a fourth meal in the day. But I think that's a whole other way of going about it. Like, that's the wrong way to eat as you find.
That's cool.
They're trying to get people to eat a fourth meal in the day.
It's called...
Because people are so thin and lean.
That's
important.
So breakfast time, lunch time, dinner time, and chicken time?
Wow. I'm not sure what the meal's called, but I guess it's just for them to probably make more money.
Sure. Oh, man. Well, you know, if they could pull that off, if people really just sort of had that, all of a sudden had a fourth one to be concerned about, that would help the economy profoundly. I might do some neat things.
Our food-based economy.
Yeah, right?
What, do they have a name for it yet?
That's what I don't know. I'll have to look into it and let you all know more about that. So, if our listeners wanted to try out some sensible meal planning, how would they get started if they've never eaten in such a way before?
You think?
Getting started on it. Huh?
Picnic at Starbucks?
Sure.
Oh,
sure.
Tell me more about that.
A Whole Foods or
well, just I always found that the urban picnic was always a good atmosphere, and that was more of a you know, what would be considered a morning meal. Mm-hmm. In general. But yeah, the Whole Foods would be more of a, well, the food halls
later in the day,
later.
Sure.
At the, and that involved two stores. I'm thinking of the basic breakfast time
right
idea, which actually I have might involve a small bag or a Tupperware container full of some granola.
Mm-hmm. And absolutely
then you're going to be traveling with a little bit of water and a fizzy. And fizzy being just like a fizzing vitamin-type beverage of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just kind of grab yourself a double cup of tea over
from Starbucks.
From Starbucks.
Okay.
And
any flavor?
Two flavor, two preference, whatever.
The green tea. The green tea.
Yeah, the green tea is good, though.
It's a pretty good way to go.
And so you have that other cup there. And the critical part of that other cup is it allows you to make your fizzy. And potentially, it also allows you to have a bowl to eat your cereal in, depending on what circumstances you find yourself in. And then also at the Starbucks there, they're going to have some sort of way to consume it. Like they'll have an eaten stick of some sort that you could use.
That's true.
And then there's water.
Yeah.
There's always a bathroom there. And so for about $1.50, you pretty much have yourself a nice little meal. In what would otherwise be an urban location where would be perhaps prohibitive, really, to have breakfast.
Sure.
In the expense realm. And you end up with something pretty tasty.
Absolutely.
Do you have anything to add to that?
No, I'm with you on that. I mean, a buck and a half is like bed and breakfast without the bed.
Yeah.
Not bad when you're traveling.
Yeah. So what did you purchase? Some hot water and granola?
No, I purchased the tea. That gives you that's your admission slip.
And the tea was $1.50.
Yeah, it's
a buck or so. I mean, it's getting to be $2 ish now.
Oh,
but
sorry,
right,
so
about under $2.
I'm out of date.
Yeah.
That doesn't include the granola you bought somewhere else.
That's true.
Yeah, you're buying that at about $3 a pound, $4 a pound.
Yeah.
For an organic, low sugar, because that's the nice thing. These they might be harder to find. I know Mr. Resorchester has trouble finding some of these granolas, but when you do, they're so undesirable that they tend to, it seems like they're cheaper.
Oh, the basic ones or they're lower in sugar and things. Yeah, that's true. They tend to be the budget ones because there's nothing fancy in them, and which is real good. The Yeah, a lot of that breakfast stuff a lot of times could include some fruit, which travels fairly well for a day or two.
That's true. Often an apple. Thank you. Yeah, I forgot.
And some a lot of times maybe some nuts or dried fruit too that can go into the granola experience, which is pretty nice.
What we would be traveling with, with the sack of lunchtime or traveling time snacks, meals, would often involve macadamia nuts, some cocoa nibs, some dried cranberries or cherries, raisins. And those things would often end up in the granola or some portions of that in some ratio or another.
Sounds good.
Depending on the mood. And then, a little fresh fruit, too. I forgot.
Some fruits can be nice. And then depending on digestive preferences, like a variety of nut meats usually work pretty well with me. I know it doesn't go necessarily good with everybody's diet. But, nuts will last a long time, and they're available. They don't need cooking. Mm-hmm. And you get a little bit of nourishment out of that, which is kind of nice. Mm-hmm. So getting started, really, it's tougher than you think, because the North American traveling landscape offers a lot of variety for the immediate acquisition of meals of different kinds. Some very convenient, some very pleasant, and maybe it's not necessarily that much cheaper doing the sensible meals that that we were using on the road, or say like in the studio, that then going over and getting a 79-cent taco someplace.
It's true. In a lot of ways, it wasn't cheap.
It's
quite possible.
Yeah. But I think it ended up, a couple of pictures of health, you and me right now. So I think it's, as long as you keep drinking water, which is a good mental note to maintain for me personally, I'd say, the payoff is exponential as years go by.
Yeah, you must explore that realm, right? That good food isn't necessarily cheap food.
Yeah, I'm kind of finding that out. Some people say eating at McDonald's a dollar hamburger is definitely cheaper than... good food, I guess, for me is a lot of vegetables and fruit and whole foods and those tend to be more expensive, so I would agree with you there. It is possible to eat good food in a relatively cheap way. Probably not as cheap as that taco you mentioned, or other things like that. And there's a lot of reasons for that that I could go into.
One interesting solution that just pops into my mind, the way that fast food... restaurants have proliferated pretty much everywhere. A really viable alternative to that, say for instance, in the periods when I'm driving around from town to town, maybe playing a little music here and there and visiting and things like that, if there were as many local gardens as there were fast food places, where say like a person could just go in and have a buck or $2 and pick a
cucumber,
meal's worth of stuff or something.
Yeah.
Something to add to the salad that you would make. That might really make it, a lot of folks would participate in something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
Well,
And maybe there are some I don't know about.
I think there's a certain irony, too, in that the it's faster than going to a fast food place.
Right.
What we're talking about is actually much better for you. It costs more. In the short term, but it actually is food.
Yeah.
Instead of whatever, I'm not quite sure if that is food. I mean, we're using that word generically, I suppose. It's something you're putting in your mouth, and it qualifies as food in that case.
Michael Pollan calls that food, edible food-like substances.
Yeah, it's a food-like product.
Oh, that's
right.
Yes, absolutely.
So, it's actually faster. There's no lines. It's just open up your backpack, and there's your food.
Yeah.
You're done.
Sounds good.
And you can eat it wherever you feel comfortable.
That's true, too. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of times those fast food environments are not the best environments to be consuming even bad food inside of.
Well, I had a thought about something that might fit into the sensible meal planning when you said going to a garden and picking some food. And I've heard about someone whose diet just includes eating a bunch of vegetables, and I thought that could be one option, just buying a whole bunch of vegetables that you can eat raw and just eating them like that.
Oh, yeah.
No preparation required other than maybe washing.
Much of that used to happen for sure. I mean, once again, it's good for a day or a day and a half.
Yeah.
But, you know, you get some broccolis and tomatoes and cauliflowers and carrots. And, yeah, there's a whole bunch of things that are real fun and easy to eat.
Mm-hmm.
Also, food that you can eat while you're driving, I think, is mm-hmm. part of it. That might have had manifested in the non-preparation mm-hmm. aspect, just something you could sort of reach over, not really even need to use your eyes to get that food from wherever it was sitting into your mouth. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that saved a lot of time instead of pulling over and hanging out someplace.
To prepare something.
Yeah. So in a way, it's really the ultimate convenience. Eating that way takes no cleanup. If you eat a carrot that you're not going to peel,
yeah,
pretty much there's nothing to wash.
And nothing to throw away.
And nothing left over. Yeah, I mean, it's a real neat.
Well, I guess the stem of the carrot. But even that's pretty biodegradable.
You just give that to the bunny in the back
really
seat. You know.
Or throw it out the window and let it decompose on the side of the
absolutely.
Freeway.
Absolutely.
Well, I like the idea of not throwing things away because I was thinking fast food is very convenient. If you go through a drive-thru, you can eat that while you're driving. But then mm-hmm. you have this huge mountain of garbage to throw away.
In the trunk of your car, right? Yeah, I've seen cars like that.
Yeah.
The back seat's just...
Yeah.
The way they wrap it up in order for you to eat it while you're driving mm-hmm. necessitates a bunch of garbage.
True. That's true.
At the end of eating it.
That's true. I think I still have some of those 7-10-year-old containers.
Nice.
That we might have used.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Still using them.
Right? And imagine that, right? I can't think of a single McDonald's meal wrapper that I have around for any period of time. Not to mention using it, you know, a number of years. So that's significant.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if fast food wrapping is reusable so
only
much.
In the woods.
I wonder if you could throw it in your compost pile. I don't know. Some of it's plastic. Probably not.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, you wouldn't want to use that.
No.
Hmm.
No, so what are some resources for people who maybe want to get started with some sensible meal planning?
Yeah, it's all in the shopping. There's a couple of, you know, if you lean towards the general category of healthy health food places to go buy food.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you did mention Whole Foods.
There's a number of chains and stuff, but
the more bulk bins there are, the better.
That's a good way to see
it. I think that's a good way to go.
Sure, sure.
Yeah. And flats of produce.
Right, yeah. right. Exposed produce, you can pick the ones that you like. And then farmers markets, of course, are always fantastic. And,
yeah.
and the idea being, what would that be? You know how you have a third eye? You probably have like a third palate, like an inner sense of taste or mm-hmm. something that drives your attraction to certain foods. So you mm-hmm. just sort of get in touch with your own personal version of that.
Yeah.
And as you're kind of looking at stuff, picking out things that with the short list, little or no preparation, and something mm-hmm. that could maybe last in a backpack or in a little food container on a car seat,
mm-hmm.
so that next time if you're taking a drive somewhere to go visit some folks, or if you happen to have a type of work that involves traveling, and then that way you sort of drive till you get hungry and you reach over there and start eating. Next thing you know, you're a sensible meal planner.
All right. That sounds good. Well, it sounds like maybe there is some more time involved in acquisition because you can't store it, so you have to go and purchase it more often.
Some of it stores quite well.
Well, yeah, you said the nuts and things like that, but farmers markets tend to have things, perishable things like vegetables.
The apples only go so long.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then you start getting to the greens and the soft reds, and the very light purples. Hey, go ahead and hit that on button. I think is what you're trying to do.
Looks
up on
like
the top, Gentner.
We have a caller.
Oh, marvelous!
And then
go ahead and push the on button and then slide up phone number one there.
Phone number one. Where's that? Here we go.
I think that should put the caller on the air.
Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Caller on the air. Wasn't actually hoping to. I'm a reporter with Metro. And yeah, I heard you guys were looking for a new home.
Sure.
Oh, excellent.
Once again, seems like you guys are kind of always trying to find a new home. Well, maybe not always, but quite frequently. Anyway, I'm looking to to write a story about it. Would love to hear kind of what happened and all that jazz.
Okay, I'm going to actually take you off the air, and,
okay.
and we'll talk to you on the phone. Thanks for calling. All right, anyway, back to our conversation about food here.
Nicely done. Hey, that was kind of, that was really thoughtful of that fella to give a call like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that sounds really interesting. We can always use some publicity around here because we're a totally volunteer-run station.
That's true.
And we run off of people's donations and pretty much just people who do shows give money, and that's it.
Blood, sweat, and tears of everybody's combined efforts.
Yeah. So, yeah, if you, as a listener, would like to call in to the station and talk about food, you're welcome to do that. Or if you'd like to find out more about what we've been talking about today on the show, you can contact me through Facebook, Your Homegrown Food Show on Facebook. Or you can send me an email, yourhomegrownfood@gmail.com. And you can find out more about my guests, Mr. Riz Orchestra, through Facebook. You have a Facebook page?
I certainly do. Certainly do, and a YouTube page and things like that. And Facebook place is just fine.
Cool. So if people Google Riz Orchestra, they can probably find you that way.
You bet. Riz Orchestra with a G. A G with a K. How do I spell that? R-I-Z-O-R-K-E-S-T-R-A. Riz Orchestra with a K.
Cool. All right. And my other guest was the host of the Arduck Show, who I'm sure all of you listeners know about because he does a show on Friday evenings, an electronic music show. You can tune him in then. And you can also find out more about him on Friday, on Facebook. He has a Facebook page too, Arduck Show. And if you would like to be a guest on the show or you'd like to suggest some topics for this show, you can contact me through Facebook, Your Homegrown Food Show on Facebook. And you can tune this show in every Wednesday at 11:30, from 11:30 to 12. And I think that about wraps up the show for today. I don't know if we've got through all the topics we were intending to for today, but it was really nice to have you guys as guests.
It was really a pleasure to be here, and I think we dug into some good, sensible meal planning aspects for sure.
Yeah, and hopefully our listeners got some good ideas for some interesting ways to consume food and maybe some ideas for if they're on the go or spending long hours in the studio.
Right.
They can become nourished. And, so thanks to my guests, and I'll see you guys all next Wednesday at 11:30 for another edition of Your Homegrown Food. Have a wonderful afternoon, and stay tuned for Democracy Now! Coming up next.
Zum Freund und das ist total lieb. Ah, ah. Es ist eine Kuh und ich bin froh, dass es sie gibt. Ah, ah. Immer wenn sie bei mir ist, bekomme ich Appetit. Aber nicht auf meine Kuh, sondern auf das, was sie mir gibt. Ich möchte Milch, das ist klasse. Oh, oh, oh. Milch, eine ganze Flasche voll. Frische Milch schmeckt toll.